And hello everyone, we are live once again here on the internet. This is Pastor Vic here from Murray Grace Fellowship. We're a Christian fellowship up in the northeast of Scotland. We've got lots of snow in Scotland at the moment, but we've got nothing here because we are on what's known as the Riviera of the North. So it's really quite nice here at the moment. Further inland, I know some of the fellowship have got a lot of snow, but we haven't. So welcome. It's really good to have you with us this Sunday morning. Yes, we're still in lockdown here in Scotland, so we're still online for the next few weeks anyway. Hopefully we'll be back out of this session of lockdown soon and we'll be able to get back together and worship together. But until then, we can use these platforms that have been provided and we can gather around the word, we can receive an offering and we can take communion together. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Welcome if you're just joining with me. It's great to have the saints coming together this fine morning. I'm going to start with a very small section of a psalm. By now you know I like to start with a psalm. And it's just the first couple of verses of Psalm 146. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." Hallelujah. One of the things I'm really missing, saints, is us getting together and singing out praises, singing out our worship. That's the sort of one thing, you know, we really cannot do on this kind of platform. But I just trust that you are getting into your worship during the week. Lots of resources we now have with the internet and Spotify and YouTube and all that. You know, get into your worship, listen to worship music, and praise the Lord in your homes, in your car, as you're walking out in creation. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Father, I thank you that we're here this morning. I thank you that wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we are able to sing our praises to you. Thank you, Father, that you are worthy of our praises. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Creator of the universe. You are worthy of all praise. We worship you this morning. We praise you this morning. We come before you with thanksgiving, with thankfulness in our hearts for all that you've done for us, all that you are doing for us, all that you have provided for us going forward. We love you, we praise you, we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Yes, we are going to have what has developed in the last 11 months now into our normal Sunday service. We did have a time when we managed to meet for about 5 or 6 weeks over it in Elgin and then in Longbride, but we're now back to this platform and we will have a message. I will pray for an offering and then we'll take communion together. Remember, we also have lots of services, lots of meetings, studies and just informal get-togethers through the week. If you want to see when they are, just have a look at our website there and you can join us anytime you wish. Hallelujah. So, we're going to go through the word, we're going to have a message together, we're going to receive an offering and take communion. So let's jump right in, excuse me a second, let's just jump right in and get into our Sunday message this morning. Let's pray for the word. We always pray before we look at the word, we pray for understanding, because we know the parable of the sower. We know that as we sow that seed, the enemy is trying to steal that seed away. But if we can get understanding, he can't get access to that seed. And it starts the process of producing fruit. And that is what we want. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these incorruptible seeds we're about to plant into the ground of our hearts. I thank you that it'll go onto good ground. I speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Understanding so that his seeds will not be stolen away. Understanding so that the seeds will germinate, will grow, and start that process of producing fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. Excuse me. So let's get into the message. Welcome. If you've joined in between me welcoming you at the start, great to have you with us this morning here in the northeast of Scotland. Lovely part of the world. Hallelujah. So I am going to carry on with my series that I'm calling You Are a Whosoever. I'm going to carry on with that this week. Well, I'm going to take a slightly different angle, and I think that's an angle that's going to take me quite a few weeks to work through, going on my progression this week. I'm still going to be looking at a passage of scripture that describes you as a whosoever. Now, I'm going to go back into the Old Testament this week, but part of the Old Testament is still very relevant for us today. And hopefully by now you're getting the real gist or the real thrust of this series. And that's that if you're born again, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, if you follow Jesus, however, whatever terminology you use, I identify yourself with. If you're a born again believer, you are also what I call a whosoever. Well, not what I call. You're what the Bible calls a whosoever. And you can look through the words, you do a word search on Strong's or your favourite device or website or whatever. Do a search for whosoever. And you'll see that it's this word, past, that means all. And then we have a list of many, many good things that you have or can have, can live in as one of these whosoevers. You can take all those verses and you can relate it to your life right now. And you can see that you are saved, you are healed, you're made whole, you're prospered, you are an overcomer, you are more than a conqueror, you can do all things. That's stuff we've covered in the previous lessons. So, great term that, whosoever. And I want to carry on with that this week, probably for a couple of weeks, looking at a wonderfully encouraging passage that is all about you. And all about things that are available to you as a whosoever. So turn with me to Psalm 23. And we're going to go through, well, I'm going to say we're going to go through that this morning. I started going through that this week and got through the first five words. So it might take us a wee while to get through this psalm. But this is a wonderfully encouraging psalm about you as a whosoever. So Psalm 23, what does it say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Excuse me. Hallelujah. What an awesome passage of scripture. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know about the rest of the world, but if you attend a traditional funeral here in Scotland, there's a 99% chance that this psalm will be read out by the minister. Just about every traditional funeral I've ever been to in Scotland, the minister will read out this psalm. It's a very common passage for funerals. And in that sense, it's a passage that seems to be associated with death. Or probably more accurately, associated with post-death. And I agree that for those left remaining, this is a great encouragement at that time. It talks of the shadow of death. You know, about death not being permanent, about death not being the real thing, about just being a shadow. Talks about dwelling in the house of the Lord forever, about there being this awesome life after death. And yet I get it. That's a great encouragement at a funeral service. But for me, as I've been meditating on this passage all week, I see the psalm more about life, about a good life well before death. Now, I think it's Christian Aid that has this really great sort of tagline on their posters. It says, "We believe in life before death." And for me, that's what this psalm is about. This psalm is about life in abundance. It's about a life of provision, a life of plenty, a life of safety and security. Awesome. There's something else I want to cover before, kind of going right into the depths of this psalm. And it's very, very important. This is a very personal psalm, and it's a psalm all about relationship. But Vic, it was written to David. Is it not about David's relationship? Is it not personal to David? And yes, in one sense it is, because David wrote this about his Lord, about his shepherd. However, the word, that including the Psalms, are so much more than that, more than just personal for that one man. The Psalms are prophecies, the Psalms are promises for all who will come to the Lord. We can look at this psalm and say, yes, that's for me. Why? Because like David, I've come to the Lord. Because like David, I'm in covenant relationship with the Lord. We can all say this as born again believers, as whosoevers. This psalm is about me. It's for me. And there's lots of relational things in this psalm. It is a really great passage about relationship. Excuse me. In virtually every sentence, it's about relationships. He makes me lie down. He is my shepherd. He leads me. He restores my soul. He prepares a table for me. He anoints me. I will dwell in his house. Can you see that? It's all about relationship. It's all about David and the Lord, what he does for him. But you can read that for yourself and say that is for you. This is talking about you and the Lord. This is talking about me and the Lord. You and your Lord. Me and my Lord. You and your shepherd. Me and my shepherd. You can and you should personalize this passage. Claim it for yourself. Kind of be selfish. This is for me. This is my passage. This is for me. Claim it for yourself. This is mine. Print it out. Stick it on the fridge. Stick it on the mirror. Stick it next to your computer. Stick it somewhere where you can see it all day. Read it again and again and again. Telling yourself, this is for me. That passage there, that scripture, that's for me. Amen. Put it somewhere where you go. Your fridge. A mirror. Look at it. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're not a reader, as I know some of you are not, record it on your phone. Play it back again and again and again. Listen to yourself reading out this passage. If you don't know how to do that, I'll record it. I'll stick it on the internet or Facebook or somewhere. And then you can listen to it again and again and again. But make this psalm, these next few weeks, make it yours. Read it again and again and again for you. Listen to it again and again and again for you. Amen. See, you can, and indeed you should, read Psalm 23 as if you had written it. Let me say that again. Imagine that you look at Psalm 23, just think, I wrote that. Because actually that's your truth right now. A lot of the Psalms actually foretell what we will live under in the New Covenant, or actually what we are currently living under in the New Covenant. When it was written, a lot of the Psalms were, this is what it will be like. These are the promises. This is the prophecy. And we can see if we rightly divide them and look along the rest of Scripture, we can see they are written for a time under grace of the New Covenant. And we are in that. This psalm is like that. It's all about identity, about your identity in Christ, your identity as a whosoever, what you now have under grace, under the new covenant. And as I've already said, This is very much a psalm about life. And life in abundance. And of course, John 10:10 came to my mind as I was meditating upon this passage. Jesus said he came to bring us life and life more abundantly. Now, I use that verse a lot. And more often than not, I just pluck it out and say, you know, according to John 10:10. And it's not often that I've looked at the context, you know, before and after it. But let's just have a wee look at that just now. Go to John 10 and let's read from verse 7. I'm going to talk about something that I've seen before. But as I've been meditating on it this week, there's something that just really hit the spot for me in linking John 10 with Psalm 23. And it's been wonderful for me, and I hope it kind of blesses you too. So John 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Talks of being the door of the sheep, finding them pasture, saving his sheep. Talks of him being the good shepherd, giving his life for the sheep to protect them and save them. Talks about the sheep hearing his voice. And that is exactly what we will see in Psalm 23. It's the same picture. It's the same analogy. Same use of a simple principle, i.e. shepherd and sheep, that all the people at the time understood to explain a scriptural principle. I love that Psalm 23 linking with John 10. And right in the middle of that discourse, John 10:10, we have that verse about life and life in abundance. My friend, Psalm 23 is about life and life in abundance. And Jesus came to provide that. And because we are living post-cross, we now have that. You have that. You are currently living in Psalm 23. Amen. That's a wonderful link between John 10 and Psalm 23. That's just come alive in me this week. And it's just awesome. Psalm 23 is the abundant life psalm. Amen. And that is what you have been provided with as a whosoever. Awesome. Now, most of us don't live in an agricultural society today. And a lot of the pictures that we see in the Word about sheep, about shepherds, about planting and growing, about seed time and harvest are kind of lost on some of us. But back then, when these were written, Psalm 23 and John 10, everyone worked in or was acutely aware of farming, of agriculture. That was their society. And these pictures of sheep and shepherds were easily understood back then. They knew what David, they knew what Jesus was talking about. These pictures of sheep, shepherds were easily understood. Now, I'm very fortunate where I live, especially in this time of lockdown. I can go out and walk in the countryside every day. And on Thursday this week, I was out for my daily walk around. I've got a 3-mile route that I go every day, so I was walking around there, and I saw a shepherd which was great. As I was pondering Psalm 23, I saw a shepherd rounding up his sheep, getting them from one side of the field to the other, with a couple of dogs and with his stick, and then getting some of them into a lorry. It was fascinating the way he worked with the sheep, the way he worked with his dogs, the way he used his stick to manage the sheep. Now, I stopped and watched as it was something you don't see every day, and it was absolutely fascinating. But this was something that the people of the biblical day, it was common for them, so they knew exactly what was being written. Very clear, easily understood picture for the people then. But we need to rightly divide the word. We need to look into it. We need to study it to get the same outcomes, the same understanding of the scriptural principles that would have come very easily to the people of the day. We need to study it out. And that's hopefully what I'm going to do over the next few weeks. So David in Psalm 23 and Jesus in John 10 are using a picture, an analogy, and the example of a shepherd and a sheep to explain some awesome spiritual principles. Principles that are as valid today under the new covenant as when they were written. Oh, now Vic. You tell us we're not supposed to live by old covenant principles. You tell us we're under the new covenant. We're not under law, we're under grace. Aye, that's true. But if something's written in the old covenant and it is confirmed in the new covenant, then it is still applicable for us today. And what I'm going to talk to you through in Psalm 23, you'll see, is covered in the epistles. The apostles' doctrine, which we are meant to live by. So these things in Psalm 23 are still for us today, even though they were written under the Old Covenant by an Old Testament prophet. They're promises, they're prophecies for us today, living under grace, living under the New Covenant. So they're still applicable for us. So what is this psalm all about then? Now this is when I was going to launch in, and I had plans to talk about this verse and that verse, and I had this in my head and that in my head, and I managed to cover the first five words. The Lord is my shepherd. Right off the bat, this is made very personal with a wonderful declaration of faith. The Lord is my shepherd. That's David's declaration here, starting it off. And it should be ours. And by saying that, by believing that, by being in that faith, it makes what follows possible. Only through him and through his finished work can we get, can we receive, can we be made what he wants us to get, receive, and be made. It's almost like an ownership issue. And we need to, this is probably not the right terms, but we need to own the Lord as our shepherd. We need to see him as our shepherd. We need to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Own it, personalize it, take it, keep it. That's ours. You need to be able to say, he is my shepherd. And then that makes everything else possible. But we also need to remember, and this is something a lot of people might not be too keen on, but along with that declaration, I think there comes some responsibility. You cannot say, yep, Jesus my shepherd, yep, he's my Lord, and then ignore him. Not spend time with him initially, but ignore him, disobey him. Well, actually we can and we do. But, you know, we shouldn't. If we say that declaration, there is the responsibility to treat him as our shepherd and to behave like his sheep. And I thought of, as I was thinking about that principle, I thought of those few passages in Proverbs 3. Just over a little bit, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Another equally important passage that talks about the Lord. And if we are serious about Psalm 23, verse 1, if we're serious about that, and we declare that truth, we speak out that declaration, we should be equally serious about this. This is a simple passage with a simple message. Let me translate it for you, put it into Vic's language. Trust the Lord, not yourself. Look to him for guidance, and then do what he says. That's the NVV, New Vic version. Trust the Lord, not yourself. Look to him for guidance, and then do what he says. Really simple. That's what we should be doing as sheep, if we recognise him as my shepherd. Yet we get it wrong so many times. Now, I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm just saying what I see. And also, if I'm being honest, I'm speaking from experience. In a sense, what we are saying with that declaration of faith at Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. What we are saying is, I am one of your sheep, and I will follow you as my shepherd. You are the boss. What you say goes. What you say, I will do. Where you go, I will follow. Where you tell me to go, where you point, I will go. That's what we're saying here when we're saying, you are my shepherd. We're saying, you know what is best for me, Lord. But that's not always what we say, is it? No. We think we know best. How many times have you done something and it's gone pear-shaped? And you say to yourself, oh, I just knew I should not have done that. Well, you know what, guys? That knowing, that's the Lord trying to tell you not to do things. Trying to guide us. I knew I shouldn't have done that. I had that niggling thought that I shouldn't have done that. That's the Lord quietly saying, not a good idea, Vic. Really don't think you should do that, Vic. Not a great idea, Vic. I think you should go this way and Vic goes that way. No surprise when it goes pear-shaped. But then he's given us free will. And sometimes we use it in error. But there's no condemnation, amen. We're all learning. We're all on this journey together and we're all learning. Now I was thinking, well, you know, if a sheep would do that, when would a sheep get into trouble? When it goes its own way. When it goes away from the shepherd. When it leaves the protection of his covering, that's when it could be attacked by wolves. That's when it could fall and hurt itself, etc. But when a sheep listens to the shepherd, when it follows his guidance, when it does what he says, when it looks to him, that is when the sheep will be safe and secure and fine under his shepherding. And it's like that for us. When we're looking to him, when we're seeking him, when we're asking him for guidance, when we're following his direction, taking his guidance and obeying, that's when we're going to be okay. All right, it might not be the easiest route. It might be a lot harder than we're imagining, but it's got a great destination, and if he's providing for us and wants us there, he'll protect us on the way, just like a shepherd would protect his sheep. And indeed, as we'll soon see, maybe through the weeks ahead, we'll see that we're more than okay. Actually, we're in abundance. We're living life to the full. That's what this psalm says, and that's what John 10 says. And declaration of relationship as well. Let's go back and have a look at that for a minute. I've said that already. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, my is a very small but a very vital word. It doesn't say a shepherd. It doesn't even say the shepherd, which I could see it have been, because the Lord is the shepherd. But it's personal and it's relational to say he's my shepherd. David says my shepherd. This is all about relationship. This is all about covenant relationship. And David knew he was in a covenant relationship with his Lord, with his shepherd. And you know what, guys? It's the same for us. It's the same for you. It's the same for me. We are in a covenant relationship with God the Father. And you know what? It is so much better than the one David had. What does the word say? A better covenant with better promises. A better relationship, we could say. We have the kind of relationship where he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's Hebrews 13, verse 5. We have the kind of relationship where he will remember our sins and iniquities no more. That's Hebrews 10, 17. And we have the kind of relationship where, above all things, he wants us to prosper and be in health. That's 3 John 2. It's also Psalm 23, as we will see. It's all about health and prosperity. That's what David is promising for us under the new covenant. It's awesome. And you know what we'll see as well? It's a present tense truth. The Lord is my shepherd. If you look at that, that's in the present tense. He cares for me now. He preserves me now. He watches over me now. And you can say that right now. You can declare that and believe it. The Lord is my shepherd was a declaration of David. But it can be your declaration, a present tense truth that you can speak out right now, speak out every day. The Lord is my shepherd now. And he, guess what, guys? Never sleeps, never takes a day off, never leaves you nor forsakes you. What a truth. Ever-present shepherd for guidance and counsel and advice. Always correct, always right. You can depend on him to put you on the right path for what you need now. Might not always be what you think. Might not be always what you want or what you think you need. But he's never wrong. I mean, just think, I'm not trying to condemn everyone, but you're not Lord of Lords, King of Kings and Creator of the Universe. I'm not Lord of Lords, King of Kings and Creator of the Universe. What makes me think I know better than the Lord for what I need in my life? You know, there's too much in our current society, me, me, me. But we don't always know what's best for us. You know, it might just be a good idea now and again to take the advice of, listen to this, Creator of the Universe, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, rather than ourselves. That's what Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 was all about. Of course he is right. Of course he's correct all the time. He knows better than any of us what we need right now and going forward. He knows best and he's provided the best. Amen. We'll see that in Psalm 23 as we go through these coming weeks. But if we believe that first part of Psalm 23, verse 1, we need to accept the responsibilities associated with Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. He's here to help. But that's no good if we go in the opposite direction that he's going in. He is here to guide. But that's no use if we don't follow him when he says go here, go there. We have the responsibilities of sheep if we acknowledge him as my shepherd. Go back to John 10 again. Oops. And I want to read for verse 1 this time. John 10, 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him that porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd, or their shepherd, and they follow him. Once again, this is talking about relationship. Talking about relationship. Now, as a pastor, I get a few phone calls during the week. Had a few phone calls this last week from people in the church. And like all calls, I pick up my phone. Hello, Vic speaking. And not one of them said, hello, Vic, this is Dave here. "Hello, Vic. This is Pauline here." They say, "Hi, Vic. How are you?" "Hello, Vic. How you doing?" "Hello, Vic. Are you free to speak?" And I have known who was on the other end because I recognise their voice. Why? Because I am in relationship with them. Now, I've got a deeper relationship with some other people. So when I phone Nunzi, my wife, I normally say, "Hi, babe, it's me." I don't say, "Hello, Nanette, it's Vic here." I say, "It's me," because we are in relationship and she knows my voice. There are people who know my voice as we have spent time together. We have cultivated our relationship. Now, the thing I'm missing most in this lockdown is not being able to spend time with people. People that I'm in relationship. My football buddies, the church fellowship, guys in my favourite coffee shop. You know, we've all had time to ponder over things during this lockdown period. And I've kind of found out that I'm not actually missing the football. I'm missing the banter with my football buddies. You know, we stand in the same place every weekend, week out to watch the same team. And we've stood there. I mean, I've stood there for 35, 36 years with one guy. But the last 8, 9, 10 years with a whole group of us, I'm not missing the football. I'm missing my buddies. It's not so much the tasty coffee that I'm missing in my favourite coffee shop. It's chatting to Ross, the guy who serves me, about what he's doing this week. He's asking me questions about, well, where are you going with your whiskey this week? What are you up to this week? It's the relationship with Ross that I'm missing. Oh, I am missing our Sunday services, the worship and whatever, but it's not so much the service itself that I'm missing. It's the fellowship with you guys. What are you up to this week, Sean? What are you doing next week, Carl? How'd you get on a Wednesday in the shop in Evelyn? You know, that's what I'm missing. The relationships. That's what's important. Now, why am I saying all this? Well, I'm reminding you that if you're in any relationship and you want it to be good, if you want it to succeed, you have a responsibility to cultivate that relationship. Now, that's true with all the people out there, your family, your friends, your work colleagues, who you go to school with. But it's also true of your relationship with the Lord. How will we know his voice if we don't know him? How will we recognise that voice in our head that tells us to do something? How will we know if it's the Lord for sure if we don't know him? Don't spend time with him and know his true character. How will we know his voice if we don't spend time with him in prayer, in his word? I remember one time a dear saint who was having issues said to me, "Vic, the Lord's told me to give up my job, go on welfare, so I can spend more time in the Word. The Lord's told me that." And I knew instantly, because of my time with him, my relationship with the Lord, that the Lord would never say that, because we're blessed by the work of our hands. No food, no eat, what the Word says. Now, I'm not saying welfare's bad, but it's not the best option. And we shouldn't be going from work deliberately to welfare. That's not how I interpret the Word. That's not the character of God. God's best is to provide for us through our work, through our labour. Now, if you're not in relationship with the Lord, you might hear something, think it's from him, and it's definitely not from him. So you need time. I mean, you know, somebody could say something to me, "Oh, Nunzi said this." And I'll know instantly whether Nunzi said that or not, because I really know her, I know her character. Same with the Lord. We need to spend time with him in relationship to cultivate that relationship so that we will hear his voice, know his voice. I mean, if you were on our Bible study on Thursday, you would have heard a classic negative example of that I gave to the fellowship, how the Lord had said something seemingly trivial to me. I'd just not recognise it as him, just forgot about it, and missed an opportunity later on that day. You see, guys, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I haven't got a perfect relationship with anyone, but definitely not with the Lord, because I've not cultivated it enough. So I'm not trying to condemn anyone. I'm just saying that we need time with the Lord and more time with the Lord to improve that relationship, to know his voice, to hear his voice. And then once we do that, we know it, we hear it, then we kick in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 and do what he says. We should spend time with him if we are serious about him being my shepherd. Amen. Psalm 23. It's a psalm all about life and life in abundance. And it is also a psalm about relationship. It's a psalm full of good things that David promised us. And it's a psalm of good things that we now have because of our covenant relationship, our better covenant, our covenant relationship with the Lord. The psalm is about you and for you. And it comes through your relationship with your shepherd. Make it personal, guys. Keep it personal. This is for you as a whosoever. Amen. Now, I had hoped to cover more about this psalm this week. I had hoped to do more than 5 words, but I think it was fine. And I'll get into the psalm next week. But let me close this part of the service by praying for you. I want to pray this psalm over you this morning. Listen to this. Believe this. Because this is for you in the present, right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. My friends, the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. He maketh you to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth you beside the still waters. He restoreth your soul. He leadeth you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil, for he art with you. His rod and his staff, they comfort you. He prepareth a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He anoints your head with oil. Your cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for these words. I thank you for these truths that we've just worked our way through. Thank you for these seeds that we have planted. Thank you for the awesome truth that Jesus is our shepherd. Thank you that we can make that personal. Thank you that we can spend time with him because of our covenant relationship. We can cultivate that relationship. Thank you that we can learn more and more to hear and recognize his voice. Hallelujah. Amen. Awesome. Well, I, for one, am looking to see what I get out of the second half of verse 1 next week. Maybe I'll do more than that. Maybe I'll get on to verse 2. Who can tell? But I'm really looking forward to spending time in Psalm 23. I hadn't really planned this, but I was reading Psalm 23 last week and it just struck me as being a whosoever passage. I was thinking, that's about me, that's about all my fellow believers. So let's put that in this whosoever series. But I'm really looking forward to working my way through it. I would recommend you print it out. I've got it stuck right next to my computer so I can just move my eyes and I can see it there. Print it out, put it on a mirror. I'm serious about as well, about recording it. If you don't want to record it, I will do that. And I'll put it on our various platforms if you want to download it. Or go online. You'll find someone else with maybe more dulcet tones reading Psalm 23. But if you like your Psalms in a Scottish accent, I'm your guy.